Life can change fast, can't it? Sometimes we think we have everything all figured out, everything's going along just fine, and then suddenly, despite all our plans, despite thinking we have it all together, out of nowhere, things fall apart. It could be an illness, could be a financial downturn, maybe it's a lost job. Unexpected changes can also be good things, right? Sometimes it's something unexpected but pleasant that comes along. A child is on the way, or a promotion at work, or a new friendship that forms. They say the only constant in life is change, and most of us don't like change, and I think the rest of us probably aren't telling the truth. But when life changes, even if it's for a good reason, it can feel bewildering. It can feel confusing. It can kind of throw us for a loop, and we might even be a little scared by what the future will hold for us. Can I handle the new responsibilities that will be coming my way? How do I go on from here now that everything has changed? How long will it take for life to get back to normal, if normal is ever a thing that life is? This morning we're going to read the story of Joseph, a young man who was just starting out in his career. He was planning to marry the girl of his dreams. Joseph had a nice, happy plan for his life, but then it all came crashing down. Or at least he thought it did. At least that's how it looked to Joseph. Last week we talked about how we can bring Jesus our fear and disappointment, and this morning we're going to talk about bringing Jesus our uncertain future. And that's what Joseph was facing, an uncertain future. But God had a plan to lead Joseph through that uncertainty and into the role that God had in mind for Joseph that we know becomes part of the Christmas story. So listen to what happens to Joseph. This is Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph doesn't really get a lot of attention in the Gospels. He's sort of a minor role, a small part of the story. He's sort of easy to forget in the midst of all the angels and the shepherds and Mary's courage and her faith. But Joseph's story, I think, speaks into our lives. And in a particular way, we can relate to Joseph. We can understand the struggles that he faced. And we can also certainly learn from his obedience. And that's maybe what Joseph is best known for in the biblical story, his willing obedience to play his small but important role in the life of Jesus. We know what it's like when plans fall apart, and that's what happened to Joseph. His plans, his perfect future that he thought he had before him, it all kind of seemed to fall apart around Joseph. And then he had to figure out what to do to make it all come back together. And when things fall apart around us, when things suddenly change in our lives, we're suddenly faced with difficult choices. And Joseph's story was filled with difficult choices. His story, though, begins with wedding plans. Joseph was pledged to be married. In fact, it says, and this is, sort of gets into the traditions of Joseph's day long, long time ago, when you were pledged to be married to someone, they were already your spouse in a sense. You were already husband and wife, even though they had not yet gone through sort of the formal marriage ceremony. They were not yet living together, and we'll get into that piece of it in just a minute here. But they were, Mary and Joseph were, in essence, husband and wife. They had formally agreed to be married. And so in order to break that pledge, you would have to go through what we would call today divorce. And again, we'll get into that part of it as we go along. Now, we know about Mary. We'll talk about her story more next week and think about the angel's visit to her and how Mary also had to make a difficult choice sort of on the spot. Am I going to say yes to God's announcement that I would give birth to the Christ child? Mary heard that miraculous and wonderful news from an angel himself. But for Joseph, when he first heard the news that Mary was going to have a child, Joseph was confused. For Joseph, it was this sort of alarming, what's going on? This woman I'm planning to marry, it isn't working out the way I thought. Because Joseph knew that he was not the father of Mary's child. Joseph and Mary were faithful to God's law. They were waiting until marriage to sleep together, and that's where babies come from, right? We're all adults here. Mary is repeatedly called a virgin. So was Joseph, right? He knew that he was not the father of Mary's unborn child. And yet, there she was, his pregnant fiancé. And so what's Joseph going to do about this? It's what we call a twist in the story, an unexpected turn of events. And when Joseph first heard the news, he didn't know what to think. What am I going to do now? We have all been in Joseph's shoes. Not exactly, of course. But we know what it's like when life suddenly changes. When the things that we thought were going to work out and the plans that we had are suddenly thrown out the window and we've got to figure out, what do we do now? How do I deal with something that I didn't plan for? How do I make sense of life now? An unexpected situation leads us toward an uncertain future. We've all been there. Maybe for you it was a financial setback. And you start asking yourselves questions like, how am I going to pay the bills now? Will I ever be able to retire? What if things don't improve? Or maybe in your life it's a broken relationship. Will he ever love me again? Can I forgive her? What if we don't work things out? Or maybe it's an illness or an injury. How long will I be laid up? What kind of treatment do I have in store for me? What if he doesn't get better? Life is full of these unexpected changes. Things that suddenly enter into the neat way that we thought life would turn out, and suddenly we're thrown for a loop and we're left wondering, how am I going to go on now? Joseph had to do some hard thinking. His first thought was, well, I can't marry her now. Right? And we can't blame Joseph for thinking that, can we? He didn't know the whole story yet. And so his first thought was, I need to be faithful to God's law. He didn't want to embarrass Mary, but he also wasn't going to marry a woman who was carrying someone else's child. And that was the reality that he was facing in that moment. Breaking off their engagement seemed like the only good option. It wasn't going to be easy. No one was going to win in that situation. Not Joseph, not Mary, none of their families would be happy. But at least Joseph, in his mind, would keep his dignity. And as for Mary, well, sure Joseph felt bad for her, but this wasn't Joseph's fault. What else could he do? And so he had in mind to, again, divorce her, to end their engagement, to call off their marriage. The truth is, Joseph was not wrong to be thinking about these things. He didn't understand about Mary's baby. He was confused. He was probably angry, as anyone would be. And so he thought, in that moment, he only had one good option. And here's the reality that we often face. An uncertain future causes us to consider difficult decisions. Right? We've got to make some hard choices now. When life suddenly changes, we have to react. We have to come up with a new plan, and so we weigh our options. We try to find the best way forward. If you lose your job, maybe you're going to have to sell your house. If you're diagnosed with an illness, maybe you're going to have to make decisions about your treatment options. If your daughter moves back home after college, maybe you have to turn your man cave back into her bedroom. Right? We have tough choices to make sometimes. We all face hard decisions. The real question for us is, will we bring our uncertain future to Jesus? Will we trust that God has a plan, has a way forward for us? Or will we just shut our eyes and stumble forward in confusion and panic? Which we all know is what a lot of us often do. You see, this is where Joseph's story becomes so meaningful for us. He had this plan in mind. I'm going to divorce Mary. Sounded like the only good option. It was the only thing that Joseph could think of. But then Joseph heard from God. And God said to him, "Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. She hasn't done anything wrong, Joseph. Her child is from the Holy Spirit." And Joseph receives this message from God, this extraordinary revelation about what's going on in his life. God even tells Joseph, "You are to name Mary's child Jesus." In their culture, the father always named the child. And it was this sense in which God was asking Joseph to name Mary's child so that you become his father, his adopted father. And we all know that Jesus is God's son, and that's why God chose the name. But he says, "Joseph, you need to name that child. You need to take your role as the father to Mary's child." None of this would have occurred to Joseph. Not in his wildest dreams, except for the fact that it was a vision from God. None of that would have occurred if God had not spoken to Joseph. And if we are going to bring our uncertain future to Jesus, whatever that thing that you're facing is, the decisions that you have to make, the uncertainty that you're staring into, if we're going to bring that to Jesus, then we need to let Him show us the way forward. We need to wait on God's direction. We need to listen. We need to watch for His hand to lead us into the future. You see, difficult decisions invite us to listen for God's direction, not just to make our own choices. So we start by asking, "What am I going to do now, Jesus?" Which is a prayer. "Jesus, help me to know the way forward." And then we listen, and we wait, we open up our hearts, we We wait for Jesus to respond, which we're often not very good at. We like praying. We pray about all sorts of things, but then sometimes we don't wait for the answer that God is going to give us. So we need to wait. We need to watch. For Joseph, the answer came in a dream. God's own voice speaking into his life. Joseph, it's okay. This is what I want you to do. God could speak to you that way. That does still happen. I think more often God speaks to us, though, in other ways. For instance, God often speaks to us through His Word. As we pray and then read Scripture, God can show you through His Word what His will for you is. It might be that you read a story in the Bible and suddenly that story jumps out at you as relating closely to what you're dealing with in your own life. And you think, oh, I've never heard that story that way before. Or maybe it's a particular verse that you read. Maybe it's even one word of Scripture that suddenly jumps out as though God is saying, this is my word to you. And it becomes clear what God is saying. God also often speaks to us through the wisdom of other believers. This room is filled with people who may speak God's wisdom, even a word of prophecy into your life. And I'm sure no one in this room is going to say, oh, I'm a prophet. But if God gives you a word to deliver to someone else, then you're a prophet. That's what prophets do. And you may not even know what's going on in that other person's life, but God may nudge you and say, you know, speak some encouragement to them. And when they hear what you have to say, it may be exactly what they needed to hear from God. Or maybe you'll hear someone else speaking into your life in that way. But our brothers and sisters in faith can speak a message of truth and encouragement into our lives. And I think that often happens, especially in uncertain and difficult moments. So listen to one another. God can also speak to us directly through the Holy Spirit. Again, it could be a dream, it could be a vision, it could be the Spirit just whispering into your heart. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Counselor because the Spirit gives us counsel, gives us wise guidance to lead us forward. And the issue is not whether the Spirit is going to speak to us, the issue is whether we are going to listen. Because I think the Spirit is always speaking to us through God's Word and through other believers. And again, sometimes just directly into our hearts. And are we ready to listen? So before we just follow our gut, before we jump at the best option, the best first thing that comes into our minds, which again is what Joseph did, and we can't blame him for doing that. He had a plan in mind, I'm going to divorce Mary, but then God says, no, Joseph, there's a better way. I have a plan to lead you through this. So if we bring Jesus our uncertain future, He will show us the way forward. And God will speak into our hearts. And then that brings us to the really hard part, which is obedience. God told Joseph what to do. But then Joseph still had to do it. And Joseph still had to obey God, even in the very real world that Joseph lived in. A world full of people who wouldn't have understood that Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't understand that Joseph is going to take her as his wife even though she's carrying a child that's not his. Joseph had to obey despite what everyone else might say. But he did. He kept his promise of marriage. He protected Mary from disgrace. He protected her from the public ridicule that almost certainly would have come, even from within their own family. You wonder why there was no room in the inn in Bethlehem? It may not have been because everybody else went on Hotwire and booked their rooms. It might be because no one in the family would take them in. They also waited until their marriage was not only official, but until Mary had given birth to Jesus to consummate their marriage. They were faithful. They were obedient. Joseph then named that child the name that God had revealed to him. Not only obeying God to name him Jesus, but naming that child Jesus and accepting his role as the adoptive father to God's own son. And all of that took courage. It took faith. It took Joseph saying to God, "Whatever you ask me to do, I will do because I believe that you're in control of my life." The unexpected turn of events in Joseph's life could have totally derailed his life, could have just thrown Joseph for a turn of events that he could never recover from. And yet Joseph listened to God. And when he heard God's direction, he obeyed. If we bring Jesus our uncertain future, he will show us the way forward. If we're willing to listen, he will give us that direction. But then we need to be courageous and faithful enough to do what he says. God's direction calls us to faithful obedience. Faithful obedience. Today, some of you might be standing right where Joseph was. Life has suddenly thrown you off course. And things aren't turning out the way you thought they would. And now you've got to figure out what are you going to do next. Or maybe for you, that moment will come tomorrow or next week or next year. I don't know when it will come, but it will come. Life is never perfect. Things don't turn out the way you expect them to turn out. We all deal with twists and turns. That's just how life is. And when it comes, will you bring it to Jesus? Will you ask him for help and wisdom and direction forward? You know, Jesus was born in an unexpected way. It wasn't how anybody would have planned it. He grew up and Jesus did surprising things. Jesus then became our Savior in a way that no one would have imagined. Dying on the cross and rising again. You see, our God does unexpected things. And yet, our God is never surprised by the things that happen to us. Because he sees it all. And he watches over us. And he has a plan to lead you forward. Even when the unexpected happens to you, God can still direct you forward into that future that he knows is right and best for you. So bring him your uncertain future. And trust that he has a plan. Listen for his leading. And then when you hear God directing you, when you see that new plan that he has for you, follow with faith. Because the future that Jesus has for you is going to be the best future that you could ever imagine. And so we trust him even with our future. Let's bow our heads and give thanks to God. Lord, we do thank you that you have a plan for our lives. Lord, we know there are things that happen that we don't expect and that maybe you didn't want for us, but you can still lead us through it. You're still powerful and wise, and you direct our lives. And so, Lord, teach us to listen. Teach us to wait before we charge ahead, thinking we know best. Teach us, Lord, to listen for your voice and to follow the plan that you know is truly best for us. Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior. And I pray that you would teach each of us to follow him. Follow him as our Savior and follow him as our Lord. We ask this in his name.